I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy almost Friday day. Really excited to have with me today, Jess is in the booth. So if you join our conversation this afternoon, Brian's got a couple of days off. Be sure that you say hi to Jess, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Thanks so much for stepping in today, Jess. I'm so happy to have you with me.
Happy to help.
Excellent. Well, let's jump right in. Civic Media sharing some important news today. Just in the last hour, my CEO, Sage Weil, owner and CEO of Civic Media, joined my colleague, Todd Alba, on his show to share some information that Civic just put out on its website today. You can go to civicmedia.us about the interview that Earl Ingram, our fabulous morning host, had with President Biden last week. I just want to read the statement and then we'll take a listen to some of the sound and then we'll talk about it here on the show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here's the statement from Civic Media just about an hour ago or so, maybe not even an hour, less than that, 45 minutes. The Earl Ingram Show was one of two radio programs contacted by the Biden campaign following the June 27th debate to speak with President Biden. The interview was recorded on July 3rd and aired on the 4th of July on Civic Media radio stations across Wisconsin. This past Monday, July 8th, it was reported to Civic Media Management that immediately after the phone interview was recorded, the Biden campaign called and asked for two edits to the recording before it aired. Civic Media Management immediately undertook an investigation and determined that the production team at the time viewed the edits as non-substantive and broadcast and published the interview with two short segments removed. In the interest of transparency and consistent with Civic Media's mission and core values, we are sharing the edited segments now and making the full unedited interview available. Again, you can go to civicmedia.us to check that out. We're going to do our best on the show to give you that entire interview, and we're going to play the excerpts as well. The statement continues, given the gravity of the current political moment, the stakes in this election, and the importance of public scrutiny of officials in the highest offices, we believe it is important to share this information. So let's just go ahead and listen to the edits, shall we, Jess? So, I think the first edit is the shorter of the two. So let's, again, folks, my colleague Earl Ingram interviewed President Biden. We aired that interview this past July 4th. There were two segments that were actually edited out of the interview at the request of the campaign. We're going to listen to the first segment that was edited out.
First segment's actually a little bit longer, but not long still.
In addition to that, I have more blacks in my administration than any other president, all of the presidents combined, and major positions, cabinet positions.
So that was the first edit. And then the second edit, which came about 10 minutes later in the interview, this is the short one. Let's take a listen to this. Again, it's not that the words in this were changed. It was just that this, what we're about to play for you, was deleted from the original airing of the interview. Let's take a listen.
I don't know if they even call for their hanging or not, but they said they were convicted of murder.
So there, President Biden is making reference to the full page ad that Donald Trump took out back in 1989, calling for the death penalty to be brought back in the state of New York. And of course, that was happening in the wake of the arrest and prosecution of the Central Park Five, all of whom then were arrested, tried, and convicted for the rape and murder of a woman in Central Park. but have subsequently been entirely exonerated. None of those men committed that crime. And at the time, again, Donald Trump had been calling for the death penalty. So those are the two edited excerpts. I mean, my question to you all listening is, does that make a difference to you? What do you make of the edits? I thought they were really fascinating excerpts to request, you know, to go to the trouble to ask for them to be removed is interesting. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Your input is welcome. I want to finish reading the statement so that it is part of the record of my show as well. The statement then continues. With a high-profile interview comes a listener expectation that journalistic interview standards will be applied, even for non-news programming. We did not meet those expectations. Civic Media disagrees with the team's judgments in the moment, both with respect to the handling of the interview questions and the decision to edit the interview audio. We have taken this opportunity as a new media organization to clarify our internal policies to ensure that everyone in the organization understands the standards we expect for live and pre-recorded interviews, particularly for commentators and other non-news personnel. A policy defining Civic Media's content and production standards for non-news programming that covers our opinion content, including the Earl Ingram Show, and that would also apply to my show, is in the process of being reviewed and finalized, based in part on our published Civic Media news ethics and standards that applies to hard news. Civic Media unequivocally stands by Earl Ingram and his team. Earl is an invaluable voice for Milwaukee and Wisconsin and remains a crucial member of the Civic Media organization. The decision to make the requested edits to the interview was made in good faith. While we disagree with the decision, we stand by our team. This has been a learning experience, and we will do better moving forward. That's the statement in its entirety. Again, we're going to attempt to play the entire interview, again, just to sort of give folks some context, right? So we are going to try, I don't know, Jess, are we going to have time after we take our next group of messages to do the first portion of the interview? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take your calls. Do you think this matters? Again, we've got to split the interview across two segments, folks, because the interview in total is about 18 minutes long, and our longest segment on the show is 15 minutes. So we will play the entire unedited interview. We'll start the first chunk of that after our next messages, and then we'll hear the last portion of the interview after the bottom of the hour break. But I'm interested. What do you all think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I mean, there was such a hubbub over what I considered to be kind of a non-news event that, oh my gosh, the campaign gave Earl suggested questions, which, I mean, I haven't been doing this for long, but I know gosh darn well that if any sort of tier one interviewee is coming onto a show, they're going to suggest questions and topics. This is a little interesting to me, the edit request. Let's go to the phones. Gary from Sussex, what do you have to say? What do you think? Does it matter?
Well, with Joe Biden, this has been known during press conferences and stuff like that he knows what the questions are. He only has certain people that they will call on, and these people have to ask certain questions. Does it make a big difference to me? No, it doesn't really make a big difference to me. I mean, shows on TV, they edit a lot of stuff out, you know, a lot of funny stuff and mistakes that they make. So, no, it doesn't. But when you go out there and if you pretend that this is a live deal and on the table, which they always say, no questions are off the table. And then if they do edit that and they do give them questions ahead of time, that would be a real problem. So, no, I don't have a real problem, especially with Joe Biden, you know, because, you know, he does the best he can. And I'm a conservative, you know.
Well, that's why I picked you up off the call list, Gary. I love it when you call. Love to hear your perspective. Thanks so much for listening and calling. Some really interesting things there. And Gary's pointing out, especially with TV interviews, you know, there is minimally, and I've been on national TV once, right? And there was clearly like, hey, here's the sort of general direction of the questions that we're going to ask you. I was on Fox and Friends, and that was part of our discussion. So again, when it seemed like a lot of hay being made about the campaign providing suggested questions ahead of time, I didn't think so much of that. But again, you know, cumulatively, does this start to make more of a difference to people? I also want to point out something that Gary mentioned as well, which is when the president answers questions generally from the White House briefing room or in other press conference formats, which is infrequent, he has what they call like basically a face sheet in front of him. It has a photograph of the White House press corps, their name, and potentially other information. My understanding, and I've never been a national hard news reporter for any of the major outlets, but my understanding is that having those face sheets and suggested reporters for a president to call on is not unique to Joe Biden. But of course, all of this takes on this different patina because of the debate going on about, hey, is Joe Biden too old for the job, or should we be moving on to a different discussion? It seems to be stuck on the front page of every paper I've been reading for the last couple of weeks, you know, since the debate. So again, all of this, the context matters, and the moment that we're in matters. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you got 30 seconds. What's your thought? Does it matter to you?
It doesn't matter to me because, let's face it, Donald Trump would not appear on an unfriendly news outlet at this point in time if one of the questions had come up to him, did you sexually assault that 13-year-old girl back in the day? Apparently it was what the allegation now is. That would Donald Trump even answer the question? I mean, Donald Trump is a master of the communications. He has done nothing that's not scripted, and he's, you know, spray tanned and poofed up within an inch of his life.
Oh, Mark, I love it, breaking it down to the very brass tacks. As one of my regular callers likes to point out, the orange Oompa Loompa. Yeah, I mean, the guy's got, what, veneers, the hair swooshed over, the fake tan, the pancake makeup. So what is fake and what is real? We ask the hard questions here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What's the matter with your life? Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business. And if she
that is the question of the hour. Is it not business? No. Civic Media definitely thinks it is your business. That's why we have shared the full, unedited, raw interview between Earl Ingram and Joe Biden, recorded last, gosh, was it just a week ago? Again, I'm losing my days. It was a week and a day ago that Earl interviewed the president, and then a week ago exactly that we aired the interview. We came to find out that interview had two small deletions made to it. Again, this is the interview between my colleague Earl Ingram and President Biden. Two small deletions that were made, in fact, at the request of the campaign. We're going to take a minute now. We can't play the entire interview without interruption because we don't have an 18-minute block. But what we can do is play the entire unedited interview for you with the first chunk, and then we'll have to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and play the second chunk so that everyone here on Civic Media's airwaves has heard the entire unedited interview. So Jess Rollum, here's part one, the unedited version of the Earl Ingram Joe Biden interview.
President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network, and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separate communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities. And we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as a president who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of millions of, well, not millions, but over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continuing to come down, and we're going to lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, particularly in the Black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on Big Pharma. The pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has a diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay 30, it only cost $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now, that the cap's at $2,000. All the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10, $12, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now, that's cap, 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More Black families have health coverage through the ACA, the old Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many Black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance. And I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building Black wealth. The result, Black wealth, excessive pandemic is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a Black community. The Black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20 and 40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong, simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new Black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief for over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them Black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs. So they're going to be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the Black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29 and the source of my support. And it is, look, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered a question too that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for Black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, what's at stake.
There's one other thing, look. The fact is, I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America, looked like America. I serve with the first Black president in American history. I picked a Black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first Black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. In addition to that, I have more Blacks in my administration than any other president, all of the presidents combined, and major positions, cabinet positions. And in addition to that, we're working in a position that we have provided for I've appointed more black judges, more black women judges than every other president in American history combined. Because it's important. Representation is important. They have to have a voice. And that gives them a voice, gives the black community a voice. And, you know, and there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. And he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax rates for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So that is chunk number one of the Earl Ingram Joe Biden interview. Again, entirely unedited. I'd like to point this out very briefly, and then we're going to take a couple of messages. I can't even get the entire Biden interview to play on her uninterrupted on the air, right? Because it's too long. So editing, or at least cropping an interview into two segments, these kinds of time and content edits and things happen all the time in radio and TV, but I want to know if these edits mattered to you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio. I don't know about you, but I sure could use a vacation. Holy wow. Every day, another fire hose of news and information. And we haven't even started the RNC. Donald Trump hasn't even picked a vice president yet. Don't worry. Today's VP Olympics Day. We're going to talk about all of the leading contenders and some of the long shots. Don't go anywhere. We'll get to that probably top of the hour. We also have, of course, Joe Biden's top 100. We're talking about infrastructure, whole bunch of information to share. But before we get to that, we are talking about, frankly, some news that Civic Media made within the last hour or so. We have shared publicly on our website, you can go to civicmedia.us, a statement about the fact that the Biden campaign had requested two, arguably, I guess would be a way to put it, arguably minor edits to the interview between my colleague Earl Ingram and President Joe Biden last Wednesday, which aired on Civic Media on Thursday, July 4th. We just played the first part of the interview completely in its full form with no edits. We're now going to play the second portion so that you on this show will have heard the entirety of the Earl Ingram Joe Biden interview unedited in its full original pristine form. So without further ado, here is the second portion of my colleague Earl Ingram interviewing the president last week, Wednesday.
And he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three, I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely, intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up, in fact, to vote. It matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years. And every vote counts. I understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and having loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who is who's going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we always said. We gave Donald Trump executive the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive. It may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold because and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge. He wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, our economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote. There's so much at stake here. And nothing more, no more at stake than to the working class women and men of America, and particularly minorities, Hispanics, Asian Americans, African Americans. It really matters. That's what makes us who we are. We're a great country because we give everybody a shot. And he doesn't want to give anybody but his, like he said down in Mar-a-Lago, he said, you know, I know you're all rich as hell, and I'm going to make you richer. And they all thought that, and then that's funny. At the same time, as I said, he wants a 10% tariff on everything imported in the United States, which experts point out is going to raise the taxes on average Americans $2,500, raise their taxes. Well, that gives a $5 trillion tax cut next time out for everybody making. Anyway, I don't want to get too wrapped up, but it really, I have nothing but an incredible disregard for everything he stands for with regard to the community.
And the last question, President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up, we're going to win this election. We're going to just beat Donald Trump like we did in 2020. We're going to beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done. All of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I was wired. I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lower prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way, when I was over in Normandy, I wanted to go to a World War One cemetery. And this is the same cemetery he stood with his former four-star general and chief of staff, Kelly, when he was there, and he said, didn't want to go because there are losers and whiners. My son died because of a year in Iraq. And this guy's talking to these guys about being losers and whiners. He has no respect for anybody. I really mean it. And look, a couple of Republicans jumped in and helped me expand health care. Now, for example, you remember, as you reported on it, that when the Agent Orange was being dropped on people's heads during the Vietnam War, that they said they could be compensated. But guess what? They couldn't prove that the specific problem they have is because of Agent Orange. I changed that in the bill that I got passed, that we wrote. And the same way with my son. I was in and out of Iraq many times. He was there for a year. He volunteered to go. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep, to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it. And all those fumes, the reason why he came back, went from a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma, more brain injuries in that war than any other war. And he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. You know, 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, there's no, it's not quite, well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy who questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birther movement against Barack Obama. You know, this is a guy who said Barack Obama, that black guy, he wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted, and I don't know if they even call for their hanging or not, but they said they're convicted of murder. They were innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I've had the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I'm trying like hell to make sure. Look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3, 4, and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with that. There are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession. And he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine and they said, what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down, there's going to be a soft landing, we're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy has never grown faster than under me, and we're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. And I'm sorry, I feel so strongly about this, particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all of civic media.
You did do that.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for all of civic media across the network, across this entire state, that we support you, we love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, by the way, as my mother would say, you're doing God's work, kid. This is really important for so many, many people. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. That is President Joe Biden on Civic Media.
So that was the entirety of unedited, complete interview by my colleague Earl Ingram interviewing Joe Biden last week, which aired 1 week ago. Exactly. Civic Media shared today that there were two small edits made. You can find Civic Media's statement in full, as well as the specific edited statements at civicmedia.us. I want to hear from you. I'll read your texts, including some of the criticism, which we appreciate and welcome. And I'll take your calls. Do you think the edits matter? What advice? What is your response to all of this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. And again, we want to hear from you, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever you'd like to share. We are open to it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to take a very, very short break, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere, anybody. Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're just joining us, we've been discussing this hour my colleague Earl Ingram's interview with President Biden. It aired last week, a week ago exactly, on July 4th here across the Civic Media Radio Network, all across Wisconsin. And Civic Media today shared that two small deletions were made to that interview that aired, that were requested by the campaign. We have played the full interview without any edits, and we also played the specific edits. And I want to know what you think. Does it matter? Again, I'm not an experienced journalist. I consider myself as a commentator with a deep obligation to try to get my facts right. I have repeatedly corrected myself on air when I've made mistakes. I welcome criticism. I welcome corrections. I don't want to ever get anything wrong, but I consider myself a commentator and less of a hard news journalist. Frankly, I don't have a journalism degree. I'm an economist and a lawyer. But I think, you know, the way that Civic Media has handled this is what should happen, right? That the media outlet makes the correction, shares the complete information with the public. It allows the public to make up its mind, both as individual voters and the public writ large. I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That is the number to call or text. Let's take a read on some of the feedback we've gotten. Jeff from Shorewood says this. So is the new position from Civic Media that you will never again allow edits? Those edits were irrelevant, says Jeff from Shorewood. I'm not sure why the Biden people asked for the edits. Maybe because the Biden used the term blacks. I have no idea why the campaign asked for it. Only they know. The way that I read this statement and what I understood from Sage Weil, our CEO's comments on Todd's show, was that making edits in response or in agreement with the interviewee's request is not what a media outlet should do, or if they are made, to make that clear when the interview first aired. I think that would be the standard here. I was trying to say before that oftentimes editing for time constraints, because we only have certain length of blocks, is inevitably going to be required, but that needs, those judgments need to be independent and objective and not driven by the interviewee. I mean, we just experienced that. I couldn't play the entire interview in one cut because I don't have a segment long enough to do that. Texter from the 414. I know you guys have been bragging about Earl's interview, but why didn't he inform the audience of Biden giving him the questions before the interview? The interview was for us to decide if Biden still had a working mind, and the interview did not accomplish that because they gave you the questions. I think that's at the root of the matter. I think that's that is a viewpoint. But what I would say, I guess, in partial response is that it is my experience, and to the best of my understanding from people that have worked in this industry far longer than I have, is that questions and topics are, that's just, those are provided, they are requested, that continues to be a standard practice, whether you're doing political or candidate interviews or famous people interviews or whatever it may be. What would be unusual is to simply turn over any independence about the questions or the conversation that you're going to have to the interviewee, to not exercise any independent judgment about questions. That should never happen. And I think that's, again, what Sage and Civic are trying to make clear. Let's take a couple of calls. I'll keep going through the text messages. Lauren from Washington, D.C., you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you think? Do the edits make any difference?
Yeah, I think it makes some difference, Maggie. I think the audience should be aware of any edits that are made. And full disclosure, I'm a friend of Earl Ingram's. I've been on his show in other iterations years ago when he had his other shows. And I'm a journalist in Washington, D.C. who covers the White House and Capitol Hill. And I think, Maggie, this is probably more of a product of the fact that we have so many citizen journalists who are around now, people who are really trying to serve the community and you know, and tell them what's going on, and may not be fully aware of all the journalistic rules that we've had over the years. As somebody who's worked at so many media organizations, that, you know, you get a best practices guide and all that. And obviously, you know, in the media that we have now, I know I don't need to tell you this, local journalism is failing in a lot of places. And, you know, citizens step up to try to tell the public, and they may not know all the rules. And the thing I will leave you with is I think this White House understood that by going to a smaller station, they could kind of control the game a little bit, because this is something, mm-hmm. frankly, I think they would not have done the bigger station.
Yeah, they're not telling CNN what edits to make, are they, Lauren?
Right. Right. Yes, ma'am. Right.
Point taken, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, let me ask you a question, given your experience. If you're familiar with radio or TV formats in your professional career, my understanding is that it's very typical for an interviewee to suggest topics or questions. Is that something that happens with some regularity? And if it does, isn't the key then for the interviewer to still exercise their independent judgment and to ask the questions that they think best serve the public interest?
Absolutely correct. And I've also been a communications director for a member of Congress and worked for three other members of Congress, as in addition to being in the media. And you're right, there's usually a discussion prior to the interview about, okay, what are we talking about? That could get into, okay, I'm going to answer these questions. A lot of people in journalism want the person to know what the questions are because they want a full answer that they had time to think about. And again, I think the issue is just sharing that with the audience and telling the audience, hey, we got some information. The Biden campaign, you know, wanted us to talk about this, and we did think that was a good question, so we added that to the discussion. I just think transparency is what sort of fixes that issue.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Lauren, for listening and calling in, for being a guest on Earl's show back in the day. That's where I began my radio career. I wouldn't be here unless Mr. Ingram had asked me to come on his show. So I really appreciate your time and expertise. Take care, Lauren. We're going to take more calls. We're going to keep reading your texts. 855-75-CIVIC. We are at the top of the hour. Jeannie, I see you on my call list. If you can hang on, I will take you after we hear news, weather, and sports here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But we want to hear from you. Did the fact that Earl got some questions ahead of time, did the fact that Civic made some edits to the interview before airing, now we've shared the full interview, we've disclosed the edits, does it make a difference to you overall? And especially, does it make a difference to you in your judgment of President Biden And specifically, the biggest question on planet Earth right now, should Joe Biden remain on the Democratic ticket? Don't go away, anyone, because the conversation continues. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.